Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here, and in this Tailspin Spyworks video, we're going to extend on the shopping cart work that we started in the previous video by adding logic to display the current state of the shopping cart in the myshoppingcart.aspx page. Now, there's a couple of bits of functionality that we're not going to implement because in order to allow the user to edit the shopping cart, we're going to have to add some logic to our class. So in this video, we're just going to do the display logic, and then in a subsequent video, we'll flush out the completeness of the functionality for the myshoppingcart.aspx page. So here's the myshoppingcart.aspx page, and the first thing that we're going to need is an entity data source control for displaying the shopping cart. So let's scroll down, find the data collection in the Visual Studio Toolbox, and grab an entity data source control, drop it on our page. Let's go over here into the properties window. Let's change its ID from entity data source 1 to EDS cart. And now let's use the Visual Studio helper and select configure data source. And again, we're going to use the named connection. If you've been watching the videos all along, most of these steps should already be familiar to you, so I'm not going to explain all of the details, but we're going to choose the named connection that was created when we created the entity data model. Click Next. And here, we're going to select View Carts. And we'll go ahead and just leave Select All. I'm going to click Finish. We're not done yet. We need to configure the parameter. But before we do this, I just want to hop over into the Server Explorer, and we're going to expand the Commerce MDF file. And we're going to see here that in the Views collection, we have a View Cart. And let's just open this. So for folks that are brand new to working with databases, a view you can think of sort of as a window into your database. It doesn't really contain data, it's just a way of looking at data. So you'll see here, this view is actually a combination of two tables. So the shopping cart table itself just has the cart ID, the product ID, the quantity, the number of products that are being ordered, and the date that this item was added. But we want to display more information to the user when they show the shopping cart. We want things like the model name and the model number, for example. So in order to do that in a simple way, we've created a view, and the view combines columns from both the products table and the shopping cart table. And that's what we're going to be displaying. That's what we're going to be displaying in our myshoppingcart.aspx page. So the other thing that we need to do, of course, is to configure the parameter for our view. So let's open this up. We're going to scroll up and find the where instance. I'm going to clip on the ellipsis to open it up. We're going to select automatically generate the where expression based on the provided parameters. So we're going to make that set that equal to yes. Then we're going to say add a parameter. The parameter is going to be cart ID, and the parameter source is going to be a session variable. So you remember in the previous video, we set the session variable, and the field name is going to be Tailspin Spyworks cart ID. And you want to make sure that you get the spelling, including case sensitivity, correct. So now I'll go ahead and say OK, and let's dock the properties window back in and switch to source view. And here we can see, let's zoom this out. So here we can see we have the session parameter, cart ID, session field is Tailspin Spyworks underscore cart ID. Let's also set a default value. Equal to 0. Okay, so now that we've got a data source configured, the next thing that we're going to need is a control to display the list of records that are returned from that view. So let's go ahead and do that next. let's hop over to Source View, go to the data collection in the Visual Studio Toolbox, and grab a grid view control, drop an instance of it on the page. Then I'm going to switch over to design mode so that I can use the helper to choose the EDS cart data source control. I'm going to scroll down and select the data source, the entity data source control, and just say refresh schema. And you can see that we have context sensitivity for our grid. Let's go ahead and run things just as they are now. I'm going to switch to the default.aspx page and go ahead and run. And then we'll select the category on the left and start adding some items to our cart. And you'll see we have the basics of display. So you can see we have the item appearing. It's not exactly what we want, but that's okay. Let's keep going and add a few more items. Okay, so you can see we have a grid here. There are some things that we don't like about this grid. First of all, it's not very aesthetically pleasing, so we're going to fix that with some style sheet applications. We don't care about having the card ID displayed. There are two other bits of functionality that we want to customize. One is that it'd be good if we had a line item total. So notice we've added two of these communications devices to the cart. They're $49.99 apiece. But it'd be nice if we had a column to display what the total for that line item was. The other thing that we'd like is the ability for the user to edit that quantity, as well as a place where they can indicate that an item should be removed from the shopping cart. So to do that, let's go ahead. I'm going to take this code that I've pre-written, and I'm only doing this so that you don't have to watch me fat finger through all of this markup. I'm going to swap back in, and we're just going to replace the shopping cart control for that data grid view, I'm sorry, that grid view, with the code that I've pre-prepared, and now we can walk through it and have a look. So the first thing you'll notice here is I've added CSS class applications. Here's one for the grid view itself, which is the rows. Here's an alternating row style. You can see I have header and footer class styles that are applied as well. So this will give us the visual aesthetics that we want for our shopping cart. And all of those classes are defined in the style sheet that we're including into our project by virtue of the master page. Here you can see we have standard bound fields for the product ID, the model number, the model name, the unit cost. Here's where we've started to do some custom work. We have this template field. So instead of just taking whatever's in the data set and displaying it, we're saying we want to do something special with the following fields. First, I have a template field that is a text box that is the quantity of the line item in the shopping cart. What that means is that user can change this because it's a text box, and then in a subsequent method that we're not going to implement in this video, but we'll implement in a subsequent video, the user will have the option to recalculate the shopping cart, and we can look at the values in these text boxes and see if they've changed. Next, we have a template field for the item total. So this was, as I mentioned, we're simply going to display the value that is produced by multiplying the quantity of the line item by the unit cost of the line item to show the total for the line item. And then last, we have one last template field that's a checkbox that specifies whether this item should be removed. And again, we're just implementing the user interface in this video, and in a subsequent video, we're going to implement the update method in our My Shopping Cart class that will handle evaluating the state of each of these line item columns. Right. So let's go ahead and run this now, and we'll see what the effects of that is. So you can see that there's some markup to type there, but it's not a very complex set of changes that need to be made to customize how that grid view is going to appear. So let's add. So the first thing you can see here is we have a quantity field here, which we can change. Right? We can't actually, it's because that's not bound, that change wouldn't persist yet, but it will when we add the logic behind it. We've also got the checkbox, and we have nice header and footer styling. Let's go ahead and add some more items. So you can see we're updating this field. Let's add a couple of different line items. So you can see that we have that nice alternating style. This is a pretty visually appealing shopping cart display, and it's the UI that we need for the functionality that we're going to implement. Now, there's one last thing that we want to implement in this video, and that is, it'd be a great idea if we could display a total for the user so that they know what the total of their order is going to be. So let's go ahead and do that next. So, since we've already written code like this before, I'm going to use the magic of cut and paste so that you don't have to watch me type through all of this, and then we'll just explain what we're doing here in the code. So, we're saying, using the entity data model that we generated at the beginning of the series, we're going to select all of the records from for a given cart ID, and then, assuming we got some records, we're going to sum up the total for each line item, the number of items ordered in that line item times the unit cost. So basically, this is going to derive for us a complete total of all of the line item costs for the entire shopping cart. And notice here that we're saying if there's an exception, we're going to go ahead and rethrow an exception that we're unable to calculate the order total, and then we're going to implement some error handling later in the video series. Now, the next thing that we need to do is we need to calculate this value. We need to call this method getTotal and display the results when the page gets loaded for the myShoppingCart.aspx. So in order to do that, let's go down and load the code behind for myShoppingCart.aspx. And here in the page load event, let's dim up an instance of the shopping cart. So we'll say myShoppingCart users shopping cart equal new my shopping cart. And then we need to get the cart ID. So let's say string cart ID equal, and then we're going to call the user's shopping cart get shopping cart ID method. And now we can simply call the getTotal method that we just implemented. Passing in the cart ID. And then, of course, we need to do something with this. So what we're going to do is say that label, and we named it label total dot text is equal to, and we could just say this, but we actually want to format this. So let's say string dot format, and here we're going to go right, that ought to do it. There we go. So let's run all this again. Select the category from the left-hand side as soon as our default page renders here. Let's add an item to the cart. Oh, input string was not in the correct format. All right, let's go ahead and fix that. Ah, does anybody see the error? Missing a bracket there. I'll go ahead and leave this in the video so you can see the debugging process. One of the things that I actually like about Visual Studio 2010 and ASP.NET 4 is it seems to me that the error messaging has improved to some extent. Error messages can still be a little cryptic for beginners, but it's nice to see that we're at least trying to evolve the error messaging to be a little bit more directive in terms of how to resolve the problem. So let's try this again. All right, so now you can see we've got the shopping cart displayed. We have a total. Let's add another one of those communication devices. Now you can see that the total reflects the quantity times the unit cost. And if we go ahead and add additional items, you can see we have that running total. All right, so now we've got the basics of our shopping cart in place. We've added the display logic, we've added the add item logic, we've added the display total logic. Now in the next video, we can start to look at how do we handle when the user changes the quantities or removes items from the shopping cart.
Thank you.